Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Get our money back, as the clerk said, we'll get.
Commissioner May, I do agree with this decision. I just wanted to let you know.
We're getting there, Pam.
Do we clap?
Okay, I know you don't know what this is about unless you watched this meeting, but if I told you there was an issue where Lumen May, Pam Childers, the rest of the county commission, Larry Downs Jr., the visually impaired community led by Carolyn Growey all agreed about something, you would think, it's the second coming. I mean, never, ever happens. But no, exactly. That's exactly what happened. We're not going to go into a lot of detail because some of this stuff hasn't still quite been solved. But you know, I reported to you the other day, a little while ago, that there are still questions about the transit system. People who are visually impaired, particularly again, Carolyn Growey leads the Center for the name of the organization. All of a sudden, I can't think of it. She's my neighbor. She's a friend, and I can't think of the organization. Anyway, she helps local disabled people, you know, get transportation and jobs and does all kinds of stuff. The Center for Independent Living. Anyway, she talking about how the new switch with the who's in charge of the transportation system in Escambia County. It used to be a company called ITL would handle what's called paratransit, which is disabled persons. They would do a very kind of robust service, not just door-to-door drop-off, but also helping people from the door to the door, like from the van essentially out to the actual location, which they often need. Now it's been taken in-house, and so ECAT is doing it through Flex Transit. Well, there's been problems with Flex Transit itself, problems with the app, she says, problems with the people getting the need. And it's also difficult because people's medical appointments might take longer than they expect. But Flex Transit, you have to book a day in advance. Anyway, there's been a repeated call to go back to using ITL. The county is not going to do that. At least they don't seem to be willing to do that. Meanwhile, Wes Moreno says that the on-time percentage for the new in-house Flex Transit is very high. There's a lot of open questions. This had to do with a thing called the CTC, which is the transportation element of what Escambia County does related to there's transportation disabled, there's paratransit. The CTC is the one that is supposed to handle, I think, the transportation disabled part. Anyway, it's ACE, and it's kind of funny because nobody even really knew that the CTC existed, kind of. And so they were discovering that they were hadn't got paid for some of the stuff from the state. We're talking lots of money for the last, 8 months. So the vote here was basically to let the state take over the CTC, which meant the county is going to get reimbursed. We still haven't solved some of the other issues related to transit. And if that's all a big jumble of confusion, welcome to the party. There are a lot of pieces to this puzzle. And the reason they were in agreement is because they found one they could all agree about that made sense, that would generate a flow of compensation for money already spent by the county. So that's a good thing. This is a win moment. Meanwhile, Escambia County Commission is trying to decide when to ask you to renew the local option sales tax. Right now, we have the local option sales tax in place that goes for all kinds of important county infrastructure, like we've been talking about the last couple of days of Santa Rosa County. Escambia County has the same thing, and it's a penny instead of being a half cent. You know, in Santa Rosa, it's a half, and Escambia, it's a penny. It's like $50 million a year. You know, it's a significant amount of money in an $800 million budget. And basically, the question they're trying to figure out is, do we put it on this year's ballot when there are going to be other things on the ballot that are, you know, also tax-related things, like maybe the Escambia Children's Trust renewal. They're going to preemptively put that on because Mike Collard is, I think, wants to defund it. You also have the question about elected versus appointed superintendent. The school board has asked for that. They want it to be at the primary. I say that's unethical. You should have it at the general election when everybody's going to vote, not the primary. But they want it at the primary in a 3-2 vote. The county commission has to decide whether they do what the school board wants or whether they usurp their power and put it at the general, which they should do, but we'll see. And then you have the property tax issue at the state and what that's going to mean. So Mike is concerned that if we put it on this year's ballot, the general anti-tax sentiment is going to sweep across all the issues, and the local option sales tax won't renew, and the county is going to be out $50 million a year in 2 years.
And so I would prefer if we wait to 28. Santa Rosa, theirs is up this year, and they're putting it on this year, and if it expires, it'd be in 26. But if the board collectively wants to do it, I won't kick and scream, but I think we should hold off.
You know, because if you do it now and it gets caught up in a wave of anti-sentiment, then you lose that funding. But an advantage is at least you know you're losing it 2 years in advance. If you wait until 28 for the issue, you might lose it, and then 2 months later it's no longer in effect, and it's a very quick adaptation you have to make with your budget. And Stephen Barry, who's going to say we should probably do it now.
No, there's not a great answer, certainly. You know, you're trying to find the less, you know, maybe the less bad answer. And I think, generally speaking, if we're going to get bad news, we're better served to have the bad news in a more timely fashion than a later fashion. You know, I think we do. You know, we do have some folks that are willing to do the advocacy, and you know, unless there's some aspect of it that I'm not considering, I think we go now and deal with it as it is.
You'd rather get the bad news now rather than later. He also made the point that, well, you're game strategizing around this as if we know what's even going to be on this ballot. We don't. Also, if the property tax stuff fails this time, it might come back again in 2 years, and then you're stuck being forced to put the renewal on what might be an even worse year for ballot language, because nobody has any idea what's going to be on the 2028 ballot, which I thought that was actually quite a good point. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. Not seeing anything slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Slow you down.
Down.
I like it. 97X, bam, the future of traffic reports. It's a little Rain Man reference for you. Anyway, so Mike Kohler says, look, we need time to make the case and explain. And although it's kind of interesting because the government is not allowed to advocate for a property tax increase. Like, you know how they take out ads for all kinds of things that are important to the county. They're not allowed to promote a property tax increase that way. Like, they can't take your money and then use it to spend, or they can't really, not even supposed to lobby for it. I haven't read the statute, but they're very careful to say that they're not supposed to. And yet here they wind up talking about, well, advocacy for this exact issue.
But what I'll tell you, we're basically 8 months out. If we don't do it now, we know we have 2 years to advocate for it. And we'll have a new governor and a new administration. And the property tax thing is falling apart in Tallahassee. I have a meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m. It is literally, they're putting up signals to try to figure out what they can get across this, you know, across the finish line so it wins. So either way, if y'all want to do it, like I said, I'll go with the board. But you're right. We don't know what the future holds. But if we didn't do it now, we know absolutely we have 2 years to advocate. Right now we have 8 months.
I think what Commissioner Barry said makes sense, Mike, and I'll support that, Commissioner Barry.
Yeah, but we're not going to – I mean, we may have 2 years to advocate, but, I mean, first of all, we can't advocate, so there's that.
Right, that is – he's right about that. But also, what Mike is saying is that the property tax thing might not even wind up on this year's ballot, in which case you would lose some of that worried sweep of anti-tax sentiment coming across the ballot. And, you know, Stephen Barry says, look, it is important. By the way, what they're doing, just if I've been too – not clear enough about this. Just like in Santa Rosa County, the conversation has been around, do we or don't we involve land conservation as a use for local option sales tax and pledge that somehow or other? Will that enhance the chances of renewing or diminish the chances of renewing it this year? So they are strategizing. If you would say it uncharitably, you'd say scheming. If you say it charitably, you'd say planning. But in any case, they are thinking about electoral outcomes around how they present this to you as a voter. Same thing in Escambia County. Do we do this now or do we do it in 2 years because we want to get the best opportunity? Again, uncharitably scheming, charitably planning, trying to get it so that it winds up passing. Because I support both taxes in both counties. They're important sources of revenue. They primarily or they largely get paid by people who do not live here, which is always a nice thing for a sales tax. But in any case, back to Stephen Barry.
If we were to put it off until November 28 and it did fail, then that we would have a budget in place that was effective, you know, October 1 of 28, and then we would have an action, you know, a ballot action that repealed, you know, that repealed it. I'm sure it would have a start date a year out. I mean, I don't think the impact would be 6 weeks, but it would still be less. And I mean, it would be apocalyptic for, you know, for us. And, you know, those are the services that our community has become, you know, accustomed to.
Yeah, if you're out tens of millions of dollars a year, it's going to affect services for sure. And apocalyptic might sound like a bit strong language, but out of an $800 million, you know, annual budget, most of which is, you know, kind of pre-spent. I think the number was like 250 or 300 that they really have general fund control over. And now you're talking about 50 million. I mean, it's a big slice of the budget. They're, you know, it's not wrong. Plus, you've got the issue of Mike Kohler asking, well, what are we going to do with the superintendent, which they don't know yet. They have not decided. So all of these ballot initiative-related questions are up for grabs under discussion at the Escambia County Commission meeting. 7:20 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I have tickets for you. If you would like to go to this is going to be the 13th Pensacon? I got to do my math on this. I believe that's correct. 13th or 14th. It's every year I've lived here, and we moved here in 2014. So, and we've gone to all of them. So anyway, Pensacon, two tickets. So you can win those tickets if you're caller number 3-437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Happy Valentine's Day from Strength for Life. As you think about your spouse or your sweetheart this Valentine's Day, remember that in the Bible, the word charity is used to describe a love that gives. 1 Corinthians 13 explains that charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity, or love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. The Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. This Valentine's Day, remember that real love is not about what a person gets, but it's about what a person gives and forgives.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Building related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner, and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
What's up, Vincent?
The largest black hole I have ever encountered, Mr. Pizer.
Bay City Rollers for you on a Friday morning. 7:23, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he is not scared of germs because he used to snort cocaine off toilet seats. The Health and Human Services Secretary...
Wait a second. No, this is a real thing.
Made
what?
made that revelation on a podcast yesterday. said he was more afraid of the disease of substance abuse than of COVID-19.
Yeah. No, here, I've got the clip for you. Hold on just a second. You ready? I got to make sure I got this turned on because it's Twitter, and Twitter's always weird about what it plays and doesn't play.
And I said, I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats. And yeah. I know this disease will kill me.
Right.
Like if I don't.
What?
Off a toilet seat?
Wow.
Bro.
Okay. I'm glad you had that one on the ready.
Happy Friday to you.
Yes, absolutely. You
make that up.
Hey, look, you know, I mean, it's the best criminals make the best cops. The best toilet seat, coke snorting Kennedys make the best directors of hell.
I mean, all the surfaces
at least at
available.
A table.
Yeah.
Or the counter. My gosh, the toilet seat.
Under what circumstances is the toilet seat your best, your premier option?
Use
for
your
a line
finger
of coke?
Or
I mean,
something.
Really.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I'm just move on. Let's move on. I'm sure some parents are like, that's about enough of this story. I agree. All right, go on.
There is a new crew headed to the International Space Station. Liftoff of NASA's SpaceX Crew 12 mission took place this morning at Cape Canaveral. They're sending 3 astronauts and 1 cosmonaut to replace the 4 crew members that had their mission cut short last month. And it is Friday the 13th. It might be the luckiest day for somebody. The jackpot tonight in the Mega Millions is up to $385 million.
All right. Yeah, it's
so there you go.
Are you I hesitate to ask, but are you a superstitious at all, David? I don't actually know this answer, so.
Not really.
No. Okay. All right.
You?
No, I don't care. Couldn't care less. John? But I know people are into the thing, you know, this
no.
Oh, it's a Friday the 13th. And what is it that this particular month of February is a perfect month because, you know, all of the dates line up on the calendar just right to make a perfect 4x7 grid.
Some people have a lot of time on their hands. I'm sorry, but they do.
There you go. Well, yeah, because Sunday was the 1st and the 8th and the...
Okay, Andrew. All right,
got
Andrew.
A calendar month of February. I mean, you know, look, we can't all be rock stars.
And I said, I'm not scared of a germ. You know, I used to snort cocaine off of toilet seats. I know this disease will kill me.
Oh. America. Land of redemption.
America.
John Pickens has traffic on the 5s.
Okay. All right. Brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living. 1-bedroom apartment starting at $799 per month. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Still rolling accident-free right now. Just seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
John, you've been radio a long time.
Oh, yes.
Can you explain to the people what a tease is?
Well, that's something we tell you that's coming up.
Coming up next, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Right? And I do or do not usually do teases.
You don't.
Every once in a while.
Right. And I give you gold stickers every time you do.
You know why I don't do teases?
Why?
Because I forget I teased it, and then I don't do it, and then I feel bad later because I failed to pay off the thing I said I was going to do.
I was waiting for the monkeys.
Yeah. Monkey branching. Here it is. But this is why I don't tease, because I literally, 28 minutes later, I remember, oh, yeah, I got to do this thing. And I hate making promises I don't fulfill. Okay, so what is monkey branching? Have you heard of this term yet?
Never.
Okay, have you heard of Shrekking? Retromancing? Loud looking? You heard of any of these things?
No.
Yeah, okay. No. These are all terms that the modern dating landscape has invented to describe.
Monkey wrangling?
Monkey branching.
Branching.
Monkey
okay.
branching. Think of a monkey climbing up a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does it, it doesn't let go of the one branch until it's got a hold of the next branch. So monkey branching is when a person stays in a current relationship, even though they know they want to leave, until they find the next person, and then they go transition immediately to the next person without having a single moment. You know, it's like, don't quit a job until you've got your next job. Don't quit a person until you've got your next person is the principle of the thing. And, of course, you know, most objective analysts say, oh, my God, that's horrific, because if you're pre-cheating or cheating with somebody else, I mean, we have a word for that. It's just cheating, infidelity, right? Not even marriage, but in relationships, the same thing. So, you know, nobody's ever on a break. Ross and Rachel are never on a break. They just move on to other people. And then eventually when that one is flourishing enough, you're like, oh, I'm ready to go to that one. I'm going to leave you behind. So that's monkey branching is a new kind of dating technique. I mean, the basic problem is you're just not being honest, right?
Right. You're just trying to cover
it up. If the other person doesn't know, then the other person doesn't know. I mean, that's the basic rule of any form of infidelity or unfaithfulness is if you're keeping a secret from somebody because they would want to know and you're not telling them because they would want to know and it would be bad for your relationship, I mean, that's infidelity, right? In some form or another. So, you know, whether they, well, you didn't tell me. Well, you didn't ask. You know, you're keeping flirty texts a secret. You're keeping Facebook chats or whatever a secret, you know, at work. All, you know, the stuff that people do, which you shouldn't. If you're, you know, not telling somebody about it, that's a form of infidelity. Anyway, monkey branching is just sort of next level infidelity where you, you know, cheat your way up the tree, I guess. I don't know if that really worked as an expression. Anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. Los Angeles has stopped repaving their roads. They put sealant over their roads with potholes instead of repaving them. Why? Because they passed a law that says if they repave the road, they have to put in bike lanes and therefore take away traffic lanes. And since they know that they are not willing to put in bike lanes and take away traffic lanes, they just don't repave the roads. So they have constrained themselves into incompetence by a rule they imposed on themselves. And now the solution is, well, you know, Bondo and potholes, I guess.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. We are careening toward another partial government shutdown. Senate Democrats blocking money for DHS.
This would now be the third government shutdown in just 5 months. Democrats say a Republican offer to keep the Department of Homeland Security funded falls short of their demands. Remember, Dems want 10 actions, including no masks for immigration agents and preventing DHS officers from entering private property without a judicial warrant.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, still no suspect in the search for Nancy Guthrie, missing for 13 days.
Authorities say they are looking for a male who is 5'9" to 5'10" tall with an average build. Officials also say the brand of backpack the suspect is seen wearing is a black 25-liter Ozark Trail hiker pack.
That's Fox's Chandley Painter. America's listening to Fox News.
7:31 at News Radio 92.3 and good morning, 48 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our full forecast with Brooke Richardson is on the way in just a few minutes. Pensacola residents invoked Supreme Court precedent Thursday in demanding that the city cancel its contract with Flock Safety's license plate reader system. Lucas Pallone told council the Fourth Amendment protect citizens even in public spaces.
2012 United States versus Jones established that placing a GPS on a motor vehicle constitutes a search and requires a warrant. 2018 Carpenter versus United States, the Supreme Court said that access to cell phone data provided near perfect surveillance requiring a warrant. In this decision, Justice John Roberts wrote, "A person does not surrender all Fourth Amendment protection by venturing into the public sphere."
And cybersecurity expert John Gaines published a list of 22 vulnerabilities in Flock cameras last November. As recently as January of this year, unsecured online portals were discovered, allowing anyone, not even just law enforcement, to watch and play back Flock recordings. Multiple residents asked the city to terminate its contract with Flock immediately. Well, Pensacola does have a new police chief, city council approving Mayor Reeves' pick of Eric Winstrom last night. Winstrom comes from Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he's been chief for 2 years. He'll start here March 2nd. Winstrom has more than 20 years of law enforcement experience, including organizing security for large events. He says his top priorities are meeting the community and improving officer recruitment and retention. Well, demolition work on the old Baptist site is moving forward. Officials say asbestos was found in the buildings, but the majority of that is non-friable, meaning it will not become airborne if it's handled properly. Crews are using air filters and sealed barriers to protect the surrounding neighborhood. Active demolition is expected to begin next month. The project should be finished by the middle of next year. A public forum is scheduled in March. Security is a little bit tighter for the Mardi Gras parades this weekend. PPD's Mike Wood says the department stepped up their security measures after the attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. Any vehicles left on Jefferson Street before the parade will be towed.
We really upped the security since the incident in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. That's just something we can't leave there. But I think we've only had to tow one since we've changed to that new security.
And the modified parade route goes south on Palafox from Wright Street, left on Garden, right on Jefferson. There's a parade on Friday, another Saturday. And Mike Wood says that most people have cooperated with the parking restrictions and the new route worked very smoothly during the MLK parade. A Florida appeals court has upheld the state's limits on THC and hemp products. Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson says the ruling stops a backdoor attempt to legalize recreational marijuana. Since 2023, the state removed more than 1.5 million packages of hemp products for violating child protection standards. 735 at News Radio, 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies. It is 50 degrees. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Great news on that. But if you're on I-10 eastbound, headed toward Highway 29 through that construction zone, expect about a five-minute delay in that area. That's about it I'm seeing right now. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up quickly around 70 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. For Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, going to be looking at the clouds, high near 69 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 64. For Sunday, we will have those rain showers moving through the morning and early afternoon hours. 100% chance of rain, high near 68. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 55. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 48 right now, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news. Anytime it happens, I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors got some good news this week on the state of the labor market, and more may be on the way this morning. A Dow Jones consensus forecast predicts that the consumer price index is expected to show a 2.5% gain from a year ago. Data drops in 10 minutes. India has approved the purchase of fighter jets from France, marking one of its largest aircraft orders. The approval was part of New Delhi's nearly $40 million defense spending package, covering multiple acquisitions across the armed forces. Xiaomi's electric car venture has succeeded in dethroning Tesla in China, at least for January. China Passenger Car Association reports that Xiaomi YSUV ranked first in China by sales last month with nearly 38,000 units sold. That is roughly double as many as Tesla's nearly 17,000 Model Y vehicles. Futures are slightly lower. Thursday, the Dow Industrials fell 669, the NASDAQ down 469, the S&P 500 down 108. Your Money Now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Daniel will not stop crying. I changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the Mardi Gras fun this weekend. Friday night, rolling at 7, downtown Pensacola will light up with the Crew of Lafitte Mardi Gras Illuminated Nighttime Parade. Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2, catch the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade in downtown Pensacola. And Sunday, it's Mardi Gras Island Style with the Crew of Rex Parade on Pensacola Beach beginning at 2. Laissez le bon temps rouler. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Today, as well as the proud granddaughter of a World War II Army veteran. And I rise today to congratulate Mr. Dwayne Bruton of Cantonment, Florida, on the extraordinary occasion of his 109th birthday, celebrated on February 5th, 2026. Mr. Bruton is Florida's oldest living World War II veteran, and among the oldest surviving veterans of the Second World War in the United States.
Senator Ashley Moody yesterday on the floor of the Senate giving a tribute for Dwayne Bruton, as she said, the oldest living person to veteran from World War II living in the state of Florida, 109 years young as of about 9 days ago. No, I'm a quick math. I can't do it. 7 days ago.
He is a proud member of what history rightly calls the greatest generation. Ordinary Americans who answered the call did extraordinary things and helped save the world. They did not do it for recognition. They did not ask for praise. They simply did their duty. Honoring their service while they are still with us is both a privilege and a responsibility. When this country called, when his country called, Dwayne Bruton answered.
Absolutely. And beyond being a private in the war and getting a Purple Heart, she says a man of faith.
The world owes a debt to Mr. Bruton and to his generation that can never be repaid. Born and raised in Pensacola, Florida, Mr. Bruton returned home after the war. He raised a family and devoted his life to faith, service, and community. A devout Christian, he lived his values daily and by example. His daughters recall that throughout their childhood, their father rose every single morning at 4 a.m. to study the Bible and pray, an enduring memory that shaped their lives and reflected the quiet strength of his character.
You know, we're obviously celebrating him particularly for his service and, you know, still having birthdays, but that kind of quiet legacy of faith is, you know, there's a lot of things in the world that are extremely important that never get celebrated. You know, that is the kind of thing that you think probably gets celebrated maybe somewhere, but not on Earth. You know what I'm saying? Like the news in heaven, so to speak, probably features different stories than the Pensacola Morning News or any news, you know? And so it wasn't that he's a World War II veteran surviving to 109 and still going. It's that, you know, every morning he's praying as this example to his family and, you know, which things are pleasing to God. But that's what I want to emphasize. And also, the history, the impact of him historically in Pensacola, this is a really interesting note. John, I don't know if you knew this one.
That faith extended far beyond his home. Mr. Bruton was a founder of the Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, a church that continues to serve his community today. Through his life, he set a shining example before his children, his family, all who knew him, and to us, of what it means to honor God and country. May we all strive to live with the same humility, discipline, and integrity that he has shown for more than a century, 109 years to be exact.
When you start to think about what 109 years encompasses, you know, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, born in what, 1917, right?
Right.
Born in the last year of World War One.
Wow.
And no, I'm not. I'm doing that right? Yeah, I'm doing that right. Right?
I'm still stuck on the founder of Brownsville.
Yeah, founder of Brownsville, which was before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, if he was born in 1917, I hadn't done this math, but if he was born in 1917, that means in the war he was actually pretty old. I mean, end of the war, he had 27, right? 44 and 45, he would have been 27, 28. So as a private, he's fighting at a fairly old age for a private. That's I hadn't connected that in my head, but that,
interesting.
You know, that's interesting too. Here, he lives in an assisted living community.
In recent years, Mr. Bruton has resided in an assisted living community where he is deeply loved by residents and staff alike. I am told that they are all watching today. On his 109th birthday, it was marked by a joyful celebration with family, friends, and community members gathering in great numbers. Surrounded by his two daughters and loved ones, the occasion was fittingly warm and celebratory, centered as it should be on a man whose life had meant so much to so many.
I'm still a little bit stuck on the age thing because, you know, we've heard stories about people who were, you know, 15, 16, 17 lying about their age to get into the Army for World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I wonder if he had to represent his age as being younger than it was if he was enlisting at such an old age. Probably would have been okay, up to 30, I would think. But anyway, a little bit more on this to come in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, expect about a 7-minute delay in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do fantastically well at this. The number one team for residential realtor here in Pensacola. She was just on Pep Talk yesterday. I was listening to her talk about all the different ways that they learn how to do things and learn how to do them the best possible. And one of the things she always says is, you might think you need me for, you know, obviously a house that's used, but you might think you don't need me for a house that's new. And people kind of have that idea. I'll just work with the builder. And she says, look, we know all the deals. We know all the ways to save you money. We might even be able to get them to pay closing costs. We certainly know how to walk through the home when it's done and make sure everything is fixed right every single time because, you know, people who are buying a home might feel like they don't want to be too nitpicky about things. She's like, oh, no, sweetie, you nitpick as much as you like. That's what the blue tape is there for. But sometimes you need an experienced realtor to kind of walk you through that. So whether you're buying new or buying, you know, used, we don't call them used houses, but they are, you know, used houses, right, lived in. Pre-owned. I don't know what the term of art is. Anyway, she'll help you with that. They sold 209 homes last year. 209, four per week. An incredible record of success at selling and buying homes for people in the Pensacola community. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. Back to Ashley Moody, who was yesterday on the floor of the Senate talking about Dwayne Bruton, our oldest living veteran at 109 years young.
Florida is the proud home to more than 1.4 million veterans. Florida is also home to the second largest number of living World War II veterans, a distinction we hold with deep gratitude and respect. We honor their service, we cherish their presence, and recognize our responsibility to preserve their stories and sacrifices.
Absolutely.
Mr. Bruton embodies the very best of Florida, and indeed the very best of America. Faith, family, humility, duty, and service. His life stands as a living reminder of the generation that answered the call, endured unimaginable hardship, and secured liberty for generations that they would never meet. On behalf of the people of Florida and a grateful nation, I congratulate Mr. Dwayne Bruton on his 109th birthday, thank him for his extraordinary service, and wish him another joyous year surrounded in faith, family, and the enduring appreciation of a nation forever indebted to him. Thank you, Mr. President, and I yield the floor.
Oh, man. Doesn't it just make you feel good? It just makes me feel good. 748 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number.
Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You're a freakishly large man.
Good morning, 7:49, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew Kay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, a political stalemate over immigration enforcement reform could lead to another partial government shutdown starting tomorrow. Democrats and Republicans have so far not agreed on the future of immigration and customs enforcement, and they have, I guess, until the end of today to reach some type of deal.
Well, it seems likely that they're going to come to an agreement about this. It's not like there's rancorous disagreement over this issue. So
if anybody is proven to be just great at negotiating and look and reaching across the aisle, it's been our political system.
Genial, compromising, yes. willing to work together, bipartisan. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. So that means that as of midnight, FEMA, Coast Guard, TSA, ICE, Customs and Border Patrol and Secret Service are all going to be working for free. I mean, they're going to get paid eventually, fingers crossed. But for now, they're working for free.
President Trump will be in North Carolina today, honoring U.S. Special Forces members who ousted Nicolas Maduro. The White House says the president and first lady will be meeting with service members at Fort Bragg. And Amazon has canceled a planned partnership between Ring doorbell cameras and Flock cameras. The plan would have allowed Ring customers to share doorbell video with police. Amazon said the partnership was scrapped because it would have taken more time and resources than anticipated.
Yeah, I'm certain it has nothing to do with the growing concerns about entering the totalitarian surveillance state that some people are raising about these various camera systems and especially their interconnectivity and their use by the government. It's not that.
Not at all.
No, it wouldn't be that at all, sure.
Just too time-consuming.
Yeah, that's too much work. Ho-hum, we don't have enough spare time. David, thanks for the update. 7:51 on news. Don't you get tired of being treated like you're stupid? Don't you get tired of, you know, companies not answering the question, telling you nonsense? I mean, it's just, I don't know. Is it just me? It's not just me, is it, John?
I just find it amusing.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Let's see. The bill that Don Gates is working on, the accessory dwelling unit, the ADU bill for all, although not all, but for, you know, future development anyway. The garage apartment or the granny apartment kind of concept. Yeah, mother-in-law, whatever you want to call it. This bill has advanced again. We'll see what winds up getting passed, as Alex Andrade told us last hour. Not about this specifically, but there's a lot of bills that are kind of working in one house, not working in the other. It's going to be a weird session where he thinks a lot of things wind up not getting passed, so we'll see. Big news out of the Trump administration yesterday, finally the announcement that the greenhouse gas endangerment finding is being abandoned. This is something that came into effect under the Obama administration. You know how they ruined light bulbs for you, you know? Raise your hand. How many of you wish you could go back and just buy a bunch of incandescent bulbs for a buck a piece? Everybody! Nobody wants these stupid LEDs.
I didn't want anybody else to be alone.
Oh, my God. They're supposed to last forever. They don't.
No.
They're expensive, and they don't last. And, they take fewer watts. Really care, honestly. I don't. I just want good lighting. Anyway, we used to have great lighting, and it was cheap. Now we have crummy lighting, and it's expensive. Thanks, Obama. Anyway, all of this stuff about gas emissions, all the stuff that led, you know, like when Gulf Power redid the Crisp plant from coal to natural gas, when all of these solar fields and solar farms are going into place, which I don't have a problem with solar. I just, you know, we're so into all of this stuff and the emissions, you know, that you're I mean, farms put out emissions and tailpipes put out emissions and, you know, animal tailpipes put out emissions, you know, like all this stuff, methane and carbon dioxide. The endangerment finding was the decision by the administration that greenhouse gases are endangering our planet, our health. Therefore, under the Clean Air Act, they can be regulated. We can create other administrative rules related to green, so-called greenhouse emissions, carbon dioxide and methane primarily, and we can regulate things that produce that. This has produced all kind of, you know, car regulations and across the board, all kinds of stuff. Well, what they said is, yeah, no, we're out. So man-made primarily, but also, you know, even animal-made emissions are no longer under the Clean Air Act because the endangerment finding has been abandoned. Lee Zeldin's been saying that they would do this for a while. He's the EPA administrator. Now, whether you agree or disagree with that, I think it's fine. I have never believed in the man-made global destruction theory. I just don't think that, you know, be fruitful and multiply makes more mouths and makes more methane, and I don't care. That's more carbon dioxide. Babies and cows are not destroying the planet. But, you know, this has been the, well, Andrew, it's also tailpipes. Okay, sure. Sure it is. Anyway, the thing that I think you can't disagree with about this, the thing that is everybody's going to, you know, it's a controversial issue, I know. But things that you cannot disagree with is one element of this is there was a kind of a weird subsidy built into the regulations that rewarded car companies for using the stop-start feature. You know, so when you pull up to a stoplight and you stop, your car turns off. And then when, or I mean, anywhere you stop, the car turns off. And then if you start again, there's that little delay while the car starts up again and then goes. Raise your hand if you like that. I mean, there's no, there can't be. Look around the car. Is anybody raising their hands? There's nobody likes this feature.
I saw one.
No, you did not. You liar.
I-10.
Big fat liar. All right. So nobody likes this feature. Well, finally, it won't be inflicted upon you anymore because there won't be any incentive for car manufacturers to include. I suppose they could sell it as an add-on. But we all know this is a stupid thing. It's inconvenient. It's unsafe. And it's probably bad for your car. Why? There's no data to show that it actually affects emissions. And even if it did, that wouldn't matter. So can we all get a collective woo-hoo for woo-hoo. Eliminating this? And I know on most cars you can turn it off, but, man, I would never buy a car that had that if you couldn't turn it off. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly, even 90, 98, 29. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, somebody asked, where's Ryan Jenkins? We didn't have him last week. We don't have him this week. Yeah, last week he had a scheduling conflict. And this week, again, he asked if we could push it. I don't know if we're going to do it next week or if we're just going to wait until March. But, yeah, sorry. I know. We got a lot to talk about with him. But, you know, somebody asked. I wanted to let you know. Okay. Since I can't believe I'm pairing these two stories together. But here goes. John.
Yes.
You're going to laugh. You're going to really love this. we were talking about methane a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
There's a new study. People are being solicited for this study. The study wants to find out how often people fart.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. The reason this became a known thing is because the preliminary research indicates that people fart about twice as often as they thought before. They had thought the average was about 10 to 14 daily flatus. That's what their description is. They now think that it's more like 30.
Where can I sign somebody up?
I will tell you in a moment. I have the website.
Oh, boy.
Because they want more people to participate. Here's where it gets a little weird. There is a device you wear. Now, it's a kind of a, I looked at the website, and it's something that registers your passages.
Correct.
And it button attaches to your underwear, and you wear it on the outside of your underwear, inside of your clothing.
Yes.
And while you sleep, even.
Mm-hmm.
And it will count.
I know people almost sign up for this. You'll love me for it.
I just, I, Oh, my God. It's so funny. Here, let me – I don't have it in front of me. Let me see if I can find the link real quick where they were linking. The New York Post had it as a story. But, oh, yeah, it's the Human Flatus Atlas is what they're calling it. And it's at flatus.info, F-L-A-T-U-S.info. That's not flat U-S. That's flatus. And then within the – you know, once you actually go look at the website, they say, who is this study for? All kinds of people. Normal people. If you think you're average, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Most people have no idea where they actually fall. Wear the sensor, find out, and help us define what normal really means. Then there's hydrogen hydro producers. And they've each one of these has a different badge attached to it. This one is a guy standing in front of a giant gas cloud, like on Mount Olympus or something. If you see it, you know who you are, or maybe you don't. And people have been too polite to say. Either way, we're looking for people at the high end of the spectrum. If you're producing 40, 50, or more events per day, your microbiome has a lot to teach us. Then you have the Zen digesters. You eat fiber, you eat beans, and yet almost nothing comes of it. If your gut runs silent and runs deep, the diet that would produce gas, we want to know why. You might hold clues to microbial efficiency that science hasn't yet explained. So, yes, you can literally sign up to wear the fart monitoring device at flatus.info.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.